President Biden travels to Wisconsin today to tout infrastructure spending, a theme he hit in his State of the Union address last night. He gave that speech before a largely maskless Congress and received a standing ovation from Democrats and Republicans alike when he called out Russian President Vladimir Putin.
He thought he could roll into Ukraine and the world would roll over. Instead, he met with a wall of strength he never anticipated or imagined. He met the Ukrainian people.
Our political strategists were watching closely last night, and they are with us today. Alice Stewart is a Republican, and Bill Press is our Democrat today. Always good to speak with both of you. Welcome.
Hi, Peter and Anthony.
Hi.
Hey, Alice, so start with you, and listen to that standing ovation we just heard on Ukraine. We haven't seen that kind of unity on a major policy issue in years. Do you think Republicans are fully on board with the president's handling of this crisis?
Well, clearly, Republicans and Democrats and Americans are on board with the idea of showing our resolve and our solidarity and support behind the people of Ukraine. And yes, I do believe the president was forceful in his admonishing Vladimir Putin and sending a warning signal that he is prepared to take further action. And the idea and the plan to shut down American airspace for Russian aircraft was a positive step. But there should have been more a long time ago. And I think more efforts to ban all oil and gas imports from Russia would send a strong signal to Vladimir Putin that America is taking full steps to stand up to him. But again, I'm all for unity against Putin and solidarity for the people of Ukraine.
Bill, what do you think? Sanctions on Russia's oil and gas networks would hurt Russians, everyday Russians. It would also hurt Americans. Do you think the president needs to take that step?
Well, let's back up. I think that, first of all, in terms of unity last night, it was remarkable, I believe. These are tough times. I think the American people needed a shot in the arm, and I think they got it from the president's speech last night. It was upbeat. It was positive. And he did stress the many ways in which Americans are united, more united, I think, than divided, you know, united particularly in opposition to Putin's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine. And I think what's remarkable there is the resolve of the American people, the unity of the American people, the incredible resistance on the part of the Ukrainian people, which, as the president pointed out, Vladimir Putin clearly miscalculated. And thirdly, the resolve of our European allies. I mean, we have never seen this kind of unity among our allies. And we've never seen actions taken by Germany and by Finland, by Sweden and by Switzerland. And I would suggest these are the toughest sanctions ever laid down against any country ever. And they've done in a united way. And I would suggest
Alice says they should go further. I just want to say,
if I can finish, that to me tells me that President Biden knows what he's doing in applying these sanctions step by step.
There was, of course, Bill and Alice, pushback to the president from Republicans. Texas Republican Ted Cruz panned it as one of the most out-of-touch State of the Union speeches he's ever heard. And on Fox News this morning, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell hit the other parts of the speech. Let's listen.
I don't think anything the president said last night is likely to deal effectively with raging inflation.
So, Bill, let me come to you about that. Mm-hmm. Biden didn't mention Build Back Better, his big social spending plan that stalled in the Senate. Instead, he rebranded it as Build a Better America, focused on reducing costs for things like energy, child care, and health care. Do you think this smaller, less ambitious plan is going to be a winning strategy over the next critical months before the midterm elections?
I just think it shows that he's realistic, right? Clearly, he was not able to get his Build Back Better bill, plan, all elements of it, through the Senate, mainly because of the opposition of two Democratic senators. And I think it takes someone who's very much in touch with reality and has a little experience in the Senate to say, well, this didn't work. Let's try this way. Let's try this path. Many of the elements of the Build Back Better are still there, the ones that he talked about. And I do think he has a better chance, and maybe should have done this in the first place, of breaking it up into smaller pieces. Hmm. You know, if I can, I just want to make one quick point, which is I think the most important thing about the State of the Union last night, whether Ted Cruz or Mitch McConnell or anybody disagrees with any part of it, and I did some parts of it, is that it took place. Because I think it showed the world that here are Republicans and Democrats alike, Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy, all there in the chamber, joint session of Congress, saying, Joe Biden is our president. We're here because we have work to do, and let's talk about what work we're going to get done. Mm. To me, that fact alone repudiates Donald Trump and all those people who still say that the 2020 election was stolen.
If I can just touch on the inflation issue real quickly. You know, inflation is at a 40-year high, and the president last night talking about government-mandated lowering prices and increasing wages, that was not a viable plan to reassure Americans that he can turn things around. And we heard in the GOP response by Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds saying the heart of this issue is the Biden administration is out of touch. They believe inflation is a high-class problem, when in reality, it's an everyday, everybody problem.
Alice,
until they realize that, it won't turn around.
Alice, I just want to bring something up with you that Bill mentioned. Two moderate Democrats who blocked, essentially, Biden's agenda. What did you make of West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin sitting on the Republican side of the aisle last night? What message was he sending about the Biden agenda?
It was an impressive optic, I believe. And clearly, by doing so, I think it showed he's willing to listen to both sides. And he's not only doing so in his actions, but certainly in the way that he votes. He is going to do what is in the best interest of the people of West Virginia. And if they have a more conservative or Republican leaning, then he sending that message that he's willing to be moderate, I think that goes a long way for his long-term success.
Bill, I heard you laughing. I know Joe Manchin is in a tougher spot with Democrats.
I'm only laughing because, first of all, I have given up a long time ago trying to figure out what Joe Manchin is doing or what he says. And I think reporters spend much, much too much time trying to figure Joe Manchin out. But I would have to argue, when he's against child care, when he's against raising the minimum wage, when he's against cleaning up the air and the water and getting rid of dirty coal, he is not acting in the best interests of the people of Virginia. I think that is really debatable.
Alice, I want to ask you about another key moment last night. Colorado Republican Lauren Boebert was booed for heckling the president about 13 American soldiers killed in Afghanistan. And this was as he was speaking about the cancer deaths of U.S. soldiers.
A cancer that would put them in a flag-draped coffin. I know. One of those.
It's hard to hear, but she said, you put them in, 13 of them. And Republican leaders have been struggling to rein in far-right members of their party. I'm also thinking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's defended Vladimir Putin, who's under fire for speaking at a white nationalist conference just last weekend. Do you hear those extreme voices only getting louder in your party, and what should be done about it?
No. Clearly, the extreme voices get the attention of the media, but while they are loud, they are not large in number. And what I think what Congresswoman Boebert did last night was disrespectful. It went against the rules of decorum for a State of the Union, and that kind of behavior should not be tolerated in a joint session of Congress. That being said, she certainly is free to speak her mind if she has problems with the president and his agenda. Go out there and actually do something about it. Come together with viable solutions that will get bipartisan support to make change. And sending out insulting tweets and speaking out in the middle of a State of the Union is not the way you go about bringing about change.
Bill, a quick question about the White House plan for dealing with the coronavirus. Released today, it states, quote, we are no longer going to let COVID-19 dictate how we live, end quote. Focus on preventing closures and shutdowns that were so divisive over the past 2 years. Do you think this is striking that this wasn't in the speech last night? And what do you make of the new plan?
Well, I thought the president did speak about it last night. He did emphasize one of the ways he said we're really united is in getting people back to work and back in the office and to getting kids back in school. He stressed that. And he also pointed out that while we've made tremendous progress, 75% of the American people now vaccinated, that we still have a way to go. We're not going to give up on the vaccines. They are effective. But look, they were there last night in that chamber without masks, which showed that, you know, we've made some progress. So I was disappointed to hear today that looks like this vaccine for kids under five is not as effective in preventing disease as maybe the CDC originally thought. We're coming out of this. We just still have a long way to go. And I think the administration has made great progress.
Alice, I've got about 20 seconds, but I want to give you a chance to just end on that image that Bill left us with there. No masks, for the most part, in the chamber was very stirring to see, wasn't it?
It was certainly a step in the right direction. The problem is, you know, the president said he would shut down COVID back when he was running for office and as he was sworn in. Still a year later, we're just now taking off the masks, still working to get at-home tests, still working on a preparedness plan. But that is a good step.
Alice Stewart and Bill Press, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.